comes from the book of Ephesians, and Barbara's going to come forward and read that for us. I invite you to stand or to rise in body or in spirit for the reading of the word. Hang on a sec.
How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as a focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free, either. Abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ. A long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Today we're going to continue exploring our faith through different games that we play. We'll be doing that all through August. Today's game, as it says, is solitaire. And solitaire is a game that can either be played with a deck of cards or online or on the computer or other electronic devices. So my question is, are there any solitaire players out there, either cards or online? Okay. Quite a few, actually. Well, I'm a solitaire player, too. You may have wondered where the game came from. Well, the game of solitaire made its first appearance in 1765. And it did this in a time when it was actually not called solitaire. It was called patience. And patience was the name used in Great Britain. And success was the name used in France. And it kept that name through the 1800s and into the early 1900s. It was a game actually played with 2 to 4 players. It was not a game to play by yourself. And so folks would get together and play this game. Parlor games, we talked a little bit about that last week. It was one of those parlor games that was played. And for those that were very competitive, that took the game seriously, they would practice on their own. It is in that time of practice to become a better player that they discovered that it was a game that you could actually play by yourself. You didn't need people there with you to play. And so then it eventually evolved into the game of solitaire and was renamed solitaire and was no longer patience or success. Of course, with the evolution of computers, with the evolution of the internet and tablets and smartphones, the game was further popularized with digital play, right? Of the people that raise their hands, who plays digitally on their phone, on their computer? Okay, quite a few. Yep. It's fun to have a deck of cards every once in a while and do it that way, but honestly, it's faster on the computer, isn't it? It does all the shuffling for you. It does all the work for you. About 8 to 10 years ago, workplace productivity was at an all-time low because of solitaire. It was on people's phone, it was on people's computers at work, and people would sort of sneak in and play solitaire throughout the day and not get much work done. Now, today, they're actually saying something a little different. They're saying that, hey, a short little brain break in your workday playing solitaire actually increases productivity. Just don't let it, you know, dominate your day, but to just take a little break is to actually get a little more productivity in your workday. And so whether the game is played digitally or whether it's played with a deck of cards, there are actually over 100 versions of the game of solitaire, or patience as it was originally called. When I went to the App Store on my phone, if you have a smartphone, you know what I'm talking about, the App Store, I found that there were over 30 just free versions of solitaire. And I didn't even look, I mean, I kind of stopped after about that long, but there's probably more and more and more. And there were different versions online to be able to play, which were like classic solitaire, the ones that we all learned, the one you see on the picture. Free Cell, Spider Solitaire, Triple Tower, just to name a few versions of the game. Some of the best solitaire players are those who spend the most time playing solitaire. Unfortunately, this is where the sermon's going to go, these players spend a fair amount of time alone, right? If you're playing a lot of solitaire, you probably have a lot of time on your hands. The game solitaire gets its origins from the word solitary, right? Do you know what solitary is? Definition of it, the dictionary defines it as existing alone, or secluded or isolated, a recluse or a hermit. That's what solitary is, and so solitaire came from the word solitary. Too much solitaire playing can create for us an isolating situation. And that's not so good. Now, please don't hear today that I'm dissing solitaire and playing solitaire, because I'm not. I am a solitaire player, as I said. I enjoy spider solitaire and triple stack. It's a good way for me to unwind and to turn my brain off and use a different part of my brain in my day. But I do limit my time on any electronic games. You see, moderation with solitaire is the key, and with any kind of online play, because if we don't do it in moderation, then we are isolating ourselves from others. And isolation leads to all kinds of things, depression, other health issues, loneliness, and then more and more time away from people. In our prison system, they have a thing called solitary confinement. You heard of that? Yeah, solitary confinement is one of the worst punishments in prison, because what they do is they put them in a cell, and for 1 hour a day, they actually get to be out and about, but they're out and about without other people. So solitary confinement is truly time away from people. And it's a punishment that's very, very harsh, because people need people. It can be psychologically damaging to a person to spend too much time alone, and that's why that works in our prison system. You see, God created us as human beings to be in relationship with other people. And when we spend time regularly with other people in meaningful relationship, not in just superficial relationship, our burdens become easier to bear. Hebrews, which was not read today, but I'm going to read it, and we'll talk about the other scripture as well. But Hebrews 10 says this: let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as the big day is approaching. Gathering in worship like we're doing today is an important part of our growth as a Christ follower. As we come together in Christ's name, we honor God in our time together. And our worship is a place where we can honor God, honor one another, and be in relationship for Jesus Christ. And that's life-giving. And so when folks come into our midst, when we have our greeting time, it's important to greet people. It's important to connect with people. It's important to have time with other followers of Christ and to help people feel as if they are welcome and that their presence is desired. Our relationship with people of faith can grow and grow more the more we spend with other people. It's hard to grow our faith sort of isolated from other people. When folks gather, growth happens. That's why we have GIGS, our growth and impact groups. That's a place and a time for people to gather with other followers of Christ and to learn and to support one another and to bear one another's burdens. Those relationships are important. It also happens when we serve with one another, when we serve at Shared Blessings, when we do different things in the community to serve, when we host Vacation Bible School, whenever we serve with others in the name of Jesus Christ, our relationship is further deepened. Our music groups, Chaos and the Choir, come together on a regular basis to do music for the worship service, but that's also another opportunity to come together and to be in relationship for Jesus Christ and to grow our faith. And do it collectively by through music. The more followers of Jesus Christ come together, the more unified we become as a church and as the people of God. Our service and our faithfulness to Christ brings us closer to Christ when we do it with one another. As a church, we are called to live and worship and serve with unity, the unity of Jesus Christ in mind. And yet, personal growth in our faith walk is difficult if a person keeps themselves isolated, apart from the faith community. When new folks come into our midst, it's important for us to reach out in love so that they feel a part of this worshiping body and so that they can grow in their faith. If you think of a person when they fall away from the worshiping body, when they fall out of relationship with other believers, it's kind of like a campfire. So any campers? A few, yeah? Any people like to grill with charcoal? Okay, so there's, you know, if you think of either of those situations, when a charcoal briquette falls away from the fire or a log rolls out of the main fire, what happens to that charcoal briquette or that log? It goes out, right? It needs the fire to keep on burning, to keep on glowing. And our faith is like that. If the church is the fire, when we fall away from it, then our faith light goes out as well. As followers of Christ, we were created to be in community with others. We were created to be with other believers in order to grow in our faith and to be able to support one another through joys and concerns. Now, one of the reasons we share out loud joys and concerns is because as a worshiping body, we can support one another with the things that are going on in our lives. In our gigs, there's time for prayer. We can support one another in the prayers in our lives. The phrase one another, which is a part of that Hebrews passage, appears over 59 times in the Bible. And it's an important passage, over 59 times. There's not a lot of things that appear that many times. Some of these are share with one another, love one another, be devoted to one another, accept one another, carry one another's burdens. The Bible inspires us to be with others. The Bible inspires us to not spend too much solitary time away from others. It's hard on our psyche. It's hard on our growth when we spend too much time apart from the worshiping body, apart from other believers. And yet, many people live apart from others because being social, because spending time with others is risky business. It makes us uneasy, right? Sometimes it makes us uneasy to be in social situations with other people. And I have to admit that it is tough to make ourselves vulnerable by being in relationship with people, because if we make ourselves vulnerable in relationship, there's a chance that somebody's going to hurt us. There's a chance that somebody's going to disappoint us, because invariably they will, and our experience tells us that they will. And yet it's only when we risk, to be in relationship with others that we truly grow as a human being, that we truly grow in our faith. Being selfish with our time and our relationships inhibits our growth with Jesus Christ. It is meaningful connections for Jesus, meaningful connections in our faith walk that help us to grow as a human being. Playing solitaire is not a problem. Okay? Please don't hear that. Just be aware that too much time, about how much time you're doing it. If it's consuming a lot of your day, and you're not spending time with others, then you're probably solitaring too much. If the quality of time that you spend with others is lacking, then maybe your device is dominating your time. Electronic games and Facebook and all the electronic things that are going on. We probably need to look at that and make sure that there's quality time with other individuals and not just with our devices. You see, Jesus Christ has greater plans for our lives than filling our time with games and electronics. Ephesians 11 through 12, which was read earlier, says, "It's in Christ that we find out who we are and whose we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on our lives for glorious living." Christ has wonderful plans for us. Glorious living is God's plan for our lives, and it involves spending time with others, not going this life alone. It's interactive, and life needs to be interactive with other people. I want to lift up to you solitaire. I don't know how. I couldn't really find out how the game of solitaire was played with 2-4 people, but I do know that our family has a game we like to play. It's called Nerds. And anybody play it? Yeah. Fun game. It's solitaire meets skip bow, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a race. And everybody has a deck of cards, and it's interactive, and we have fun together, and you get frustrated when you don't do so well, and excited when you win, but mostly it's time around the table with the people that you love. Find time to spend with other people. Find ways to strengthen your relationships with the people that you love and with the people of faith that are around you. Games can bring us together. Is it dominoes on tonight? Is that right? So dominoes tonight at 6:00. That's a game that can bring people together. Domino's another fun one. So gather with people around games. Let the games be a time to come together and strengthen your relationships with one another. I can't close today without talking a little bit about solitude. We've talked about solitaire and solitary, but I want to talk about solitude just for a quick moment. And solitude is something completely different. Solitude is the time that we set ourselves apart and spend time in prayer and Bible reading and our own individual growth, our own individual time with Jesus Christ. There's no devices, okay? Unless maybe your scripture's on your phone, which mine is. I use my phone as a Bible sometimes. But use your solitude time with Jesus Christ to grow personally so that when you come back to the group, you have something to share. Use your solitary time to be with God and not with doing things that are more mindless. Spend some time with God. So my friends, take time for quiet away with the Lord and spend time with others, encouraging them in their faith walk as you spend time together. You were all given a playing card. Hopefully you have one in your bulletin. And written on there is a part of Hebrews 10:25. Don't stop meeting together with other believers. Instead, encourage one another. Let's let that be our way to move forward, to spend time with people for the Lord. Use this as a reminder. Stick it in your pocket, in your billfold, in your purse, in your car, wherever you work, and to remind you to not forget to meet with others. Let us pray. Holy and loving Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives, for your presence with us as we gather with other believers, for your presence with us as we bring those who do not know you into your fold. Help us to spend time alone with you and spend great time alone with others. In your holy name we pray. Amen.